Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Well, good morning again. This is actually me, not the recording, right? Good morning, everyone. What day is it today? Let's see. February 18th, 2024. Good morning, good afternoon, or nude. That would be a Freudian slip, but I swear I'm not nude. Okay, good morning, good afternoon, or good day, whatever time you may be listening to me. How's everyone doing? I must say that I'm feeling much better. It took like a whole month to get over what the hell I had. Now, I know a part of it is because I'm older than most. But I don't think that was it. I honestly think this, whatever is out there, this thing is out to get you. I mean, if you really don't lay down when you get sick and really take care of yourself initially, you will have you'll be sick for a while. And I was sick and it was not fun. Anyway, I'm feeling a lot better, but I'm also doing things to keep it that way, such as a lot of cleansing, a lot of getting the mucus up. Okay, you guys don't want to hear all that. Anyway, I am getting it together, getting it together, getting it together. You guys, can you believe it's the second month in 2024? I'm almost going to third. Time goes by pretty fast. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about on the show today because, honestly, as I was setting up, everything was crashing. I still have one monitor here that will crash, so if it does, I won't be able to see what I was considering talking about. Sometimes that just happens. I'm not even sure if you can hear me because, again, I have a friend letting me know if she can hear me, but she must have had a late night. So I don't have anyone to check the sound. If it's not right, I do apologize. Remember last week I tried to set up a whole new system. It did not work. We're still going to get that. I don't know why it's being difficult, but that's okay. It'll be fine. It'll work out when it's supposed to work out. But today I really have no topic because at about 13 minutes before the show, I didn't even have this headphone. It just wasn't working. And all of a sudden it decided to work or I pushed the right button. But that's how things have been going lately. I don't know if you guys have experienced it where you want things to go left and it goes completely right. And all I can say is when it goes right, just, you know, don't resist it. Just go right because somehow it'll go back to where, you know, left. In other words, when all my stuff was breaking down, I almost decided to get upset until I said, it is what it is. Even though I hate that saying. But I just let it go wherever it was going to go. And ultimately, I got online. And I'm here. And I'm excited about that. There's a lot of heavy things on my mind today. And I'm going to start with, what am I going to start with? I'm going to start with saying I love my opening. So I really do. What am I going to start with? Where am I going to start? There's so much. And tough day because a good friend of mine, I mean, she's beyond a good friend. You know, she's a person that I've known since high school. We had so much love and sometimes so much hatred. We saw each other, we didn't see each other. It's real deep. She passed away. Now, I know you guys are like, hey, come on, Shirley. You know, we're all getting older. You'll get, you know, you will. I'm sorry, you guys. There are a lot of people that come and go in your life, and that's true. That's very true. But this person, it goes hand in hand to what the show is about, looking for my give a fuck. Because this person was my truth serum. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but that's how I'm saying it today. This person was my truth. And what I mean about that is she said what was on her mind. She loved hard. If you didn't like her, she was good with that. But, you know, we only have a heart that's so big and so small. I guess what I'm saying is, even for the people that didn't like her or didn't like her for whatever reason, you know, we can be really bad butts because we are. But we all have a heart a little bit. And one of the hardest things that I've been trying to avoid is having my heart so hardened that I didn't care even about my give a fuck. And I went through that for a long time. I have a friend, a couple of friends that helped me get through that because it's so much easier to go through life and not feel. I mean, it's easy, but it's the emotional death in a sense. Not feeling. But with social media and other things going on, it's heavy when everyone's attacking you. Usually, you know, when I was growing up, the only attack that took place was in the high school. I mean, let me tell you, every morning of high school and every evening after, there was always something going on, and I happened to be in the middle of it. I do not know why. I tell you. But there would always be something happening. But now it's the whole world in a sense being open because of social media and because people, I guess what I'm getting at is, I guess they're called trolls. I'm just going to simply say people are mean. At least when I was growing up, I knew that everybody hated me. They, in fact, they have a couple times gone on social media, you crazy bitch, whatever. I'm like, oh, please, that is so 1984. But I didn't grow up into the socials. But even today, I think it was my 55th birthday or something, someone wrote something horrible and put it on my page. And everyone was like, take that off that, you know, take it off. Forget what they're saying. They called me all kinds of names. It was horrible. And I said no. And if you go on my Facebook page, you guys, I believe I am public. I don't understand the concept of private when you're on. It never did, never will. Anyway, I am public. You can see any and all things. If you become a friend, you get to see other stuff. I don't really know, but I'm public. Anyway, I left it on there. Why did I leave it on there? Because I wanted everyone to see how I reacted to something this ugly. And what I did, if I can't remember word for word, but I basically said, if you're going to say these things about me, you know, I must spend a lot of time in your head, which is okay, but just put some respect on it. Miss bitch or Miss crazy or Miss, you know, Shirley Shepherd crazy. I can't stop people from being ugly. Took a minute for me to decide. I could have found out. I mean, I have so many great IT people. I could have found out in two strokes who did that, and I could have came for them. But why? I had to figure out early on how to do with negative socials. That's what I'll call it, negative socials. But it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt at some point. God damn. And the person who I grew up with was that person you would never think she hurt. She'd write some beautiful statements when she was on Facebook. And because I was younger when she did that, you know, it was like, yes, girl, thank you for the knowledge. I will ignore people that are mean, so on and so forth. I read them again yesterday. And I read through her pain. just not because she wanted anyone to be her friend. That wasn't it. But she's just from the school. Just come to my face. And once we deal with it, why do you keep going with it? You know, I mean, how many times are we going to have to deal with this crap? I come at you. I come to your door. We either fight, we shoot each other, whatever. Why are we still at, what is happening here? Few people that she considered her friends are truly her friends. This is important again because it goes back to looking for my give a fuck, and there's some good stuff that I'm gonna add to this terrible stuff. Anyway, yesterday I was able to put in words how I was feeling, because again, this person lived across the street. This person was kind of like the relative that you wouldn't see for 10 years, and when you see him, they, you're like, what's up? You know. I do not say the person's name because that's my rules, unless that's my rules. Anyway, this is what I put on social, because I wanted the world, she already knew, but I wanted the world, whoever looked at it, the world, which is, once it's out there, the world has access, right? R&P, rest in peace. My serum, my opposite, my identical, my friend, my earth angel, my heavenly angel. That's who that person was to me. There were so many things she would say that would hit me so hard. I'm like, damn. But it wasn't like you would think. She hit you with reality. I think I made a statement one time. Why are you smoking the weed, the marijuana, right? You know. She said, what makes you any different than I am? You get your Prozac, you know, over the counter. Sat my ass right in my place. But it was out of love. Out of love. And there's a couple times I may have done that to her, but those are the things that I remember when I was even judging. She said, no, that's what I mean. She was different, but she was my identical. She says, no. You are no greater than I am, and I'm no greater than you are. The truth serum. You cannot go to this person with bullshit, and she would come to you completely the real, whether it's something she heard or whatever the case may be. She never backed down. You want the truth? You went to her. Sometimes I'm like, dang, I don't need the truth. But once in a while, in fact, I do remember something really cute. I was on my way somewhere and she saw me, and I don't know if you guys remember that song, you know, you fancy. And she said, she sang that song to me, and it was such a compliment because we dress different, we do different, and she's like, oh girl, you fancy. It was just so amazing. It just made me laugh. Now she's an angel. A couple things hit because I went to school with this person. I know her family. We had crazy things happen. We had crazy things happen between our house and her house 1 year. You know, oh, shoot, wait a minute. If she's up there, I wonder if she can tell me what's going on down here, right? Because she's my homegirl. That won't happen. But you also look at your own. I don't even want to say that. Okay. So I found a beautiful angel, and I put that up there. And I still talk to her because when she was suffering, she didn't tell too many people, and I was one that didn't know. Maybe it was my fault. I didn't really check in. I mean, you know, I didn't know. So one question I had is, well, if I have something and I'm suffering and I'm ultimately going to die from that, keep you out. My mother had an episode with something, and her whole thing was hold it. It was very difficult. Because some people don't get a chance to say something to you. But then again, my mom was very, I don't want people to feel sorry for me. I don't want them to look at me like I have this, look at me, I have that. So, you know, so put some boundaries on it. Like for me, something happens to me, everybody comes see me. Why? Because I probably have words to the day I stop breathing of something that people need to hear from me. I guess the only thing, which is very difficult, is not to look at me as if I am just the disease that will take me to another realm. I think that's what most people fear. I had another friend years ago who died of breast cancer, and she's never made cancer look so beautiful to us. And she would always put her clothes, you know, look beautiful, even on as she crossed over in her deathbed or her crossover bed. And we would say to her, "Dang, blah blah blah, you make cancer look so fucking good." We got mad because we could not feel sorry for her. We couldn't do what we wanted to do. And was too young to realize that she says, no, just treat me as I am. Let's go to the club. We went to the club and her leg gave out. Well, no, that was in Hawaii. She was at the club standing, her leg gave right out. Cancer had eaten it up. She got a new leg, kept it moving. So I think with people, and I noticed that with my mom, when my mom had her incident, it was very scary. I froze. I really did. I just freeze if you need to. But then you have to be big enough and honest with yourself enough to say, can I even look, gaze my mom in the eye? This cannot be happening. No, because now I see that C word and I don't see mom and I see, you know. My mother said something to me. I am not it. Start looking yourselves in the mirror. And when you have a situation where someone's going through something, do the work to be able to go and sit with them as for who they are, not that other thing that may have distorted the way they look, their weight. And it's hard. We do that because I understand mom didn't want to burden people. Burden me. Because I don't want to be your friend up here and forget to be your friend when you're going through or, you know, doing what you have to do. But we have to learn how to be around people that may be suffering. I know I ran like hell. My mom told me, "Tori, I went to bed for 2 days." We can't do that. I'm getting older. I'm at that age now where people I care about and people I know are, you know, transitioning. And I want to be, as much as I possibly can learn, to be present. Not the, "Oh, it's going to be okay." It's just a simple, "Oh, I'm here." And again, the experience with my mom, I turned her immediately into that disease. And I stopped looking at her. And I stopped acknowledging that she lost 10 pounds. I was scared. And so maybe that's why she chose people, not to tell people, because they were going to probably do the same thing I did. You know, being strong sometimes is not automatic. Because she thought maybe they would only see the disease. Because there were times she would go in and out, but most of the time she was still cooking and yelling and acting a fool. She still is now. The healing, it's pretty good now. So as I learned, I guess I can put it in the quotes of my show, I learned how to give a fuck about a person who is suffering and to look them in the eye and be there. I found this quote. If you guys want anything that's really cool, on Facebook, there's a Facebook page called My Hippie Soul. That's HIPPIE, Soul, S-O-U-L. And I love it. They come up with some really great things. But again, this came on my feed probably because of my, you know, they know what you're doing on Facebook, and somehow stuff presents to you based on how you're feeling that moment or whatever, you know, how it works, the something rhythm. And I'm going to take a moment. Oh, and there's another group. That's interesting. That's another group. Okay. So I'm going to take a moment, and I'm just going to summarize real quick. I want everyone to acknowledge people that have, they have lost. I don't think they lost. I want everyone to visualize loved ones that you have seen or known. That has crossed over. And hold on, I'm going to put Mary on because she totally understands this. Mary, I have you. I have you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. But let me read this, and then I would love your take. And thank you for calling in. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, sure. Yep.
Okay, great.
Can you hear me?
Okay, so I'm going to read this. Yes. So give me this 1 minute to read this, and we'll talk about it. I can't even get the first line out. Mm. Oh, sorry, you guys. Every minute, someone, hold on. I don't have wine, darn it. Okay, I'll try this again. Oh, but at least I got my contact, so I can kind of see. Got them in last week. Okay. Every minute, someone leaves this world behind. We are all in, quote, the line, unquote, without knowing it. We never know how many people are before us. We cannot move to the back of the line. We cannot step out of the line. We cannot avoid the line. So while we wait in line, make moments count, priorities. Make the time. Make your gifts known. Make a nobody feel like somebody. Make your voice heard. Make the small things big. Make someone smile. Make the change. Make love. Make up. Make peace. Make sure to tell your people they are loved. Make sure to have no regrets. Make sure you are ready. That hit me hard. That's deep. I like that. Okay, Mary, I'm being a big crybaby. So come on in. I know you're crying.
Okay. Of course I am. Okay. First and foremost, I love you. And I saw on Facebook that you have a friend that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it late last night. That's why I didn't call you after I saw it, because it was really late. I figured you'd be asleep. So I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
You know how hard. Yeah. So it's reality on so many levels. But moreover, you know how hard I am on you about the truth. I mean, like hitting. Man, she would hit it, but she wouldn't talk as much as me about it. She would just say 1, 2, 3 out. She was so cool. I mean, her vibe, everything about her was just like gangster cool. But she was truth. She was who she was. There was nothing fake. And people did not like that. But I got the chance to meet her. Go ahead. What'd you say? You're going in and out.
I'm sorry. I said no because people cannot handle the truth.
Nope. No, they can't. Okay. Huh? Go ahead.
I said me included.
Right.
The truth sucks sometimes, and we don't know how to deal with it.
True. There was something I want to ask you that I touched on. I think it's really important because it is my understanding that my friend did not want anyone to know she was suffering. So she did it probably just with a few people. I did not find out. I explained that when my mom had her episode, how I just went straight up to bed. Good night. You know, I'm not dealing with this, so on and so forth. But I also mentioned on the show, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it throughout, that I was saying that the most important thing that we can do is that if someone is going through a crisis, we were there. You know what I mean? One thing that my mom is like saying, I don't want people to feel sorry for me. And it's very hard up until you get into the righteousness of who you are to, you know, not look at someone and see the disease that may be taking them over. But if my friend would have let me see her, she didn't want people to see that part of her. And my mom didn't want anyone to see her part of suffering. Well, I'm going to tell y'all right now, I want everybody to come see me. But see me. See me through whatever it is. See me.
Right.
Nah. And because I don't want to be, because I'm afraid you're going to say, oh, she's ugly, she's skinny, she lost weight. I don't care what you think. Just come and see me. Because the disease is going to be the disease. It's going to do what it's going to do. I want to see faces. I want to laugh. I want to cry. I know that once we cross over, there's like a glorious party of folks waiting for us, even the enemies. You know, I'll be like, God, listen, do I got to deal with the enemies in heaven or hell? They be there too. Here she comes. She thinks she cute. That's me. I'm being crazy. But I think that comes to a lot of us don't know how to be there. But God damn, I'm going to learn. Go ahead.
Yeah, we don't know how to be there. We want to fix things. We can't. We can't control the situation, and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. So instead of just being, we run, or we hide,
mm-hmm.
or we say shit
mm-hmm.
that we shouldn't say.
And I promise you, as I continue to be favored for today, because, again, I don't know where I am in that line. The funny, not funny thing, but I know the person I'm talking about, I know she up there looking like, y'all have no idea how close you are to that line. Because that's what type of person she is. She's like, oh, y'all better get it together because you like
them. I don't know what happened. It really doesn't matter what happened. The point is that she's made her way home. But what happened to her?
That's a private matter. And
okay.
That is something I just can't say. But, you know, go ahead. But, you know, it's just like everyone, you know, like, again, like if I go into a hospital, like people are really sick, get like a whatever. I'm not trying to run in there and make people happy. I'm trying to get, we all like the ER. Let's get the heck out of here. Get the heck out of here. I don't think we mean it. That's just what we do. But I know with my mom, my sister ran right to it. She ran, boom. And hold on, please. Hold on. Sorry, you guys. She knocked it out. If it wasn't for her, well, I'm sure we'd all worked it out, but she ran right towards it. She just dealt with it. I don't want us all to just decided I want to be a burden, and so therefore I'm not going to share my anguish or whatever this is with anyone because I don't want to be burdened. I mean, have we really come to that? Have we really come to that? But when we give a party or have a wedding, we open that book and call everybody in the world because that's good times, right? Even when, I haven't heard from you in 20 years. However, I'm getting married.
You know, I'm sorry, if I can chime in for a second. It's funny, well, it's not funny, but it's funny that you say that because, you know, I had a family member, my aunt, she had cancer and she didn't tell any of us. She told one person in the family, and I was in the middle of buying a car when I found out that she was like moments away from her death. And I literally got there just in time for her to maybe even hear me. And she passed while I was standing there talking to her. So pissed. Like, not pissed, but like, you know, we didn't understand. Like, why wouldn't you want us around you? But I think that was more, I think that what she did was a selfless act. And we were probably being selfish. At least I was.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the experience as she was older, I remember, you know, there's some weird reaction when you tell people that you're suffering with a disease, you know, or something. People get real funny stuff, you know,
yeah.
But I think that we all should, you know, when you know that you have something that's terminal, Don't push people away. I tell you, I'm going to have a party. I'm going to have a really big party, and this ain't no jokes. I'm saying it out there, and I want a whole bunch of cocaine. I've never done cocaine in my life.
You are. No,
I want it to be like Scarface.
No, we ain't getting no booger sugar. Ain't no booger sugar allowed.
No,
okay.
Let me tell you, if I'm terminal, there's no need for me to be all in that, you know, cleansing thing. I'm going to be like Scarface. Put my whole face in it, and you'll want, you know, just, no, what I'm saying is that we have to learn how to be there, because we're so isolated now with these social media, you know, we're very, very isolated, and I know, I don't know what the next generation is going to do, but I know that, you know, there's a place in line, and whatever that looks like, and whatever I can possibly do to make sure that people I care about are able to have those words, I'm really going to honor that. I know that really sounds strange. However, my son's, one of my son's godmothers, she had cancer, and it was years ago. My son was a baby, maybe, sounds like two or three, and she waited for all her kids, her grandkids, and Big Quan was her godson, and she waited for everybody to come. And Quan and I, when she got really sick, Quan and I were at a funeral for his best friend that had gotten shot. He's literally walking out of the cemetery and he gets the call, it's time to come, and, you know, and we get there. We went from South Central to Sylmar fast. And as soon as he got there, I don't think I went, I think he went on. As soon as he got there, she waited for him. See, because you've heard stories where people will hold on. Hey, God, look, I know I'm on my way, but let me hold on. I want to see this person. Why do they have to?
My mom waited for us to leave.
Exactly, or that. Yeah, yeah. You know, but you know, in your case, you were there. But in most cases, they. I think I'd have to think with his godmother, she always had people around her. In fact, it's just like one of those things. I've heard this happening with someone else. They all of a sudden she got up and she was doing really well, and then everyone thought, oh, this is so great. And then the next moment, it's over. You know, like the next day or two, we're like, wait, this is so strange. But whatever that may be, I feel that as humans as we are right now, things may change. We might be half robot by the time the doctor's finished giving us medicine.
Leave it to Elon Musk.
But right now, I think we're robots. But we all probably need some love and some care. And I also want to say this. I didn't think it was appropriate to say anything on social media about someone passing or how much I love the person, but that's the communicative way. And so, it was very difficult for me to write those words because that was my privacy with that person. But then again, it's social media. And I've seen negative things when people have passed. It's like, really, you guys? Really? Really? Not necessarily in this incident, but...
people pass, which is just mind-blowing to me.
I'm like, what the heck, heaven? Okay, guys, I know that was a tough moment, but... that's what my show is about. Even if it's not for anyone else, it's for me. It's for me to continuously learn. Looking for my give a fuck lesson that I learned today is being there. And you know what's funny too? You know, I'm quick to judge people and I'll leave them with that judgment forever, you know. How many times have I looked past a person having a bad day and just judged them on that day? I don't know where that hit me, because a lot of times it's like, get past bullshit and get to the substance of who we are again. I mean, I told you, Tracy's like, shoot, you, oops, said, no. Oh, it's on Facebook. So-and-so said, you're no different than me. I smoke my weed and get it here, and you get it from the pharmaceutical company. What? Now, if I would have taken that like more than just what it is, I wouldn't have had a friend for all those years. We got to start kind of doing that too. But now I'm going to change the subject just for a minute because Mary's on the line and I'm gonna get her with this question. We're changing. I gotta do my change music. You like that? That's for a new topic. Want me to do it again? There, new topic. I have no idea what's wrong with me, but new topic.
Wow.
Last week, I know, where. Girl, don't give me the scratching. Dougie Fresh ain't got nothing on me.
Don't give me the beatboxing.
I know. Okay, don't get it. Wait.
Dougie
wait,
Fresh
is
a beatboxer,
wait, 6 minutes.
A scratcher,
six, yeah. Wait,
six
I
minutes,
know. 6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, your own. Okay, well, now you're on. Okay, everyone, changing subject, men, plug your ears, women, listen, or help us out, not help us. Men, I don't really have problems because I don't give two fucks. When I get in relationships, sometimes I think I act like the dude because I'd be like, I don't care. And then when I do care, I'm like a wimp and it's all ridiculous. Okay. Mary and others are in this dating world. And something's wrong with the, what do they call it? The, you know, there's always a different fish in the, whatever, there's a new fish or whatever it's called. Something's wrong with, what is it?
Bunch of fish in the sea.
Something seems to be wrong. Yeah, it's something
however,
going on
the water
here.
Is fucking it, contaminated.
Yeah. Now, is that fair to say? It's so funny. Is that fair to say? Okay, I want everyone to know I'm usually, especially with Mary or any of my other friends that may talk about a guy or say something, I'm always on the guy's side because I'm like, because I know I'm a piece of work. So one thing that came up, well, there are a lot of things. Like, well, I'm going to ask you one question, then we can really go into the depths about men. So if you're dating someone, this is a question, and that person comes into your workplace and appears to be flirting with someone else, how do you handle that? And
oh,
why do you
question.
Think that person would do that? I have a person that dealt with that. You want to tell your story? Or a story?
Oh, yeah.
Or answer that question?
I mean, so you have an hour, right? On your show, it's an hour
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to take up everybody's time, but I will say, so I was dating this guy, and he came into my workplace, and he was the same smiley, flirty, like looking at me like I was a piece of cake way that he used to look at me, he started looking at my coworker slash homegirl. Now, she did not ever really reciprocate to that or really, I don't think that she even saw that he was doing it because it was never on her mind. She kind of just joked around with him like he was her homeboy, right? Like she was a dude and he was her homeboy. Or, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she even went as far as, you know, saying things like from dude to, well, I'm going to say from end to end, but I'm not going to say that word. And everybody
no,
that
you're
knows
not.
What end means knows what I'm talking about. No, I'm not. I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what she said to him, and she can say that because she's black. And he's black. So, okay.
So and Mary's not black. Just add that.
No, I'm not black, even though y'all might think it. I'm not. I proceed to get very upset about this. Like, but then I have to sit back and ask myself, why am I upset about this? What about this bothers me? And I'm going to tell you what bothered me about it. It was so, first of all, it was mad disrespectful. Second of all, it was so reminiscent of what happened in a previous marriage of mine. And I reverted back to that marriage, that broken, hurt, Mary, like I reverted back to that person probably for a week or so. And I'm just coming out of that here in like the last few days. Okay. So what ended up happening was I ended up telling him to kick rocks. I confronted him about it. He tried to say that's not what it was. I'm not blind. I even wear glasses so that I can have better vision. and I just told him that, you know, I was done. And I mean, some other stuff happened, but I won't get into that. And we are no longer seeing each other. And I don't feel the same. Like, I was in love with this man. That shit that he did made me almost instantaneously fall out of love with him. He no longer was attractive to me. We tried to have sex after that. It was terrible. It was never the same. And I gave him a second opportunity, and it still just wasn't the same. My mind was in 20 million different places, and my mind was never in another place when I was with this man except for that moment. So I knew that even that stupid, even if he didn't mean it in the way that it was presented, that stupid action on his part, that childish action, ruined a relationship that had been going on for a year. And I will never deal with him ever again, not even as a friend.
Okay. Question. This is not just about that particular situation. This is about boundaries and respect. This is almost, like you said, it's been almost a year, if not a year, right? And here he comes into
right.
your establishment, your work establishment, and he's disrespectful. So, I mean, boundaries. At some point prior to that particular incident, boundaries had not been drawn. And Mary doesn't have to go through her story about that, but I find that in relationships, boundaries, even when you first meet someone, are imperative. Because if a person keeps, crossing the boundaries, you're going to be irritated. But the other thing is they don't even know there's boundaries. No, in that case about being disrespectful, that's just rude. I'm thinking some of these men have not been raised properly. But boundaries are key. Okay, you guys, so when you're dating someone, you know, look, it's so funny. Gosh, we do more research on a new bag than we do on a man. I mean, not me. But let me share this with you, Mary, and all you other women looking for a great, great guy. How are you going to find something when you don't know who you are? Now, I know people have heard that before. I've heard it before, and I think it's a really fucked up statement. So let's just break it down to this. What do you like? Oh, shit, I don't know. I don't even know what I like. I'm 57 looking for my give a fuck. Okay. how are we going to do this? If you don't take time to become aware of what makes you feel good or what doesn't make you feel good, how are you ever going to find someone to be a part of that puzzle of love relationship? How? We're not. I can tell you, I'm looking for my give a fuck. If I was dating a man right now, or even married, and I did a show looking for my give a fuck, I think he'd be like insulted. Well, I'm not a part of your give a fuck. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? So what do you do? Where are your boundaries? How do you live by your boundaries? How do you set boundaries and then your heart's like, oh, no. Because the heart's an amazing muscle. Woo! It can do some things. But do you need a year in to realize this is not working? And do you need a disrespect? Some women would have blamed, Mary, I would have said something about your coworker because, just giving, putting the excuse on everyone but the man, because that's what we do. So let's give men a break. Let's give him a break, because I don't know what it is to be a man. And I just know that the way in which they're acting, it's very different. Maybe they've given up trying to figure out how to please women. Or maybe women don't even want them to necessarily. I don't know. For a man to believe that he can be disrespectful in front of the girl he's dating, that's just rude. Now, sometimes men do things to get back at women, which could be true. She pissed me off, I'll make her jealous. At some point, that's not fun anymore when you grow up. It's just not fun. So again, let's just really focus on what can women do and how do we do it. And a lot of people say, well, I want to be rich. I want a rich man. Do you guys understand if you want a multimillionaire, he's not going to be home. And when he's on the road, I'm sure he's fucking someone or some things or watching porn. I don't care. But a trillion millionaire is making money. And most of the time they're on the road and having sex just to relieve stress. Okay? So you want a doctor? You want a litigation attorney? You want a football player? You want a basketball player? You want an entertainer? You want all that? Your bad self. Or if that's what you're looking for, like, for instance, my son's a firefighter. I would love to marry a firefighter. Why? Because I want 3 days with his ass not being there and 4 with him being there. That's fair. Right? I mean, it's easy to work out when there are boundaries somewhere. But what are your boundaries? What are you looking for? Why we are looking for someone to equal us, to honor us, to complete us. Because back in the day, that's what it would be about. You would get a good man and you'd be a good woman and y'all try to work it out. Those days are over. No one can complete you because even at the time of crossover, you are not completed. Do you understand me? Why are we putting so much pressure on each other and on men to make women and women to make men who they are? Why don't we all just step back? Remember in elementary school when they would have the first like fall or spring dance, the girls would be on the left, the guys would be on the right. Let's all do that. Let's all split up. Just everyone split up for a second. Stop the madness. What's going on? Now I heard there's these things called a situationship where you're not really in the relationship, but you're fucking, but you're not really fucking, but so there's no boundaries. That's a new thing. How do you protect yourself as you're dating and you want to get into a relationship with this new mindset? Yep. With a new mindset. What do you do? There has to be men and women out there that want the same thing. But if you are spending extra months on a situation that's not going to work, that's not going to really help you get into an environment that men are more conducive to what you're looking for. Now, it's not often you're going to find someone that you're evenly yoked. I mean, if you get that, snatch that and hold on, right? But everything else, you kind of have to grow towards it. But if a person's way over to the left and way over to the right, I mean, that's a little too, that's too far to bridge. So question, prior to this incident, Mary, were there other things that made you uncomfortable and that you should have establish boundaries? Is there any responsibility you have where this man thought he could just be that disrespectful?
Oh, I definitely believe that there, you know, I definitely believe that it was an open door for him to be that way. And I mean, you know more about the situation that I'm going to let the listeners mm-hmm. on, you know. So I wasn't, and when I say that, I say that to preface that, like, I mean, I wasn't devastated by what happened, you know. There's a part of me that says, oh, you know, I should have saw that coming. Which, you know, in a way I did, but I, as a woman, you know, we tend to ignore things and let things go when I shouldn't even really been dating him in the first place. The relationship that he and I had should have never even started. So it was, mm-hmm. it was a dead end from the beginning. Right. So, although I wanted it to be, you know, have a happy ending and there to be, you know, this great love story to tell because I live in, you know, rom-coms. you know, that's how I think about love is in romantic comedies. From, you know, just because I didn't have anybody, you know, to show me what real love was in my family. And, you know, the whole time I was with him, you know, I wasn't loving myself. So how could I want someone else to love me? You know, and I think that mm-hmm. when you say, you know, we really have to think about what it is that we want and, you know, being equally yoked and things like that. I was listening to church service this morning, and it's so crazy because they were talking about dating, sex, marriage, love, all these different things, and dependent, you know, obviously I'm a Christian. I'm not always Christian-like, but I am a Christian. you know, I'm not perfect. I live in the flesh, and that's probably just a lame-ass excuse of living in the flesh, but I do. So, you know, I think that we tend to date when we're lonely. We tend to date just to date instead of dating to marry.
Oh, yeah.
And at least in the Christian faith, you should be, you know, back in the day, this is something I learned today, and it's in the Bible, dating was considered prostitution. When you were dating, you were going out with men in return for gifts, money, things like that. So, back in the Old Testament, dating was, you know, if you were dating, you were
Wait, really quick, hold on. Then we all prostitutes. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
we all
hoes.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm going to jump in here because you were listening to a show and it was giving you this, you know, having it gave you a new perspective regarding dating and why people date and so on and so forth. So now you have something else to put onto yourself. But I think I have something that'll work. Seriously.
Okay.
What was this whole show based on? Not this show, the whole episode being developed, the whole looking for my give a fuck. What was it about? It was about the book by Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth. You're looking for your life's purpose. And remember, the most important thing about that book was what? You have some type of emotion or something. If something triggers you or dis-triggers you, whatever it causes, and it is not conducive to the manner in which you want to live your life, look into it. What it is, it doesn't matter what the church people say. It doesn't matter what I say, whatever. But people are saying, well, listen to your instincts, whatever. If something sets you off immediately, and it's not making you happy or it's not doing something. Here's the words I like to use, conducive to what you want in your life, okay? It doesn't have to be it makes you mad, it makes you, but it's like if I'm talking to a guy and he says, I am a deep fisher, I'm a deep dive fisherman or something like that, ding, ding, I'm allergic to seafood, I cannot date you. You know, it's not personal, it's just I'm allergic to seafood. What I'm saying is if we just acknowledge that, wait, why do I all of a sudden get this? Or why do I all of a sudden feel this way? Look at the way in which the men you tend to date tend to be kind of like the same. Unless you're a good hoe, then you, you know, mix it up like me. Oh, anyway, but when it is not conducive. Now, the reason I say conducive conducive into the manner in which you want to live your life, because a lot of us don't know how we want to live. We don't even know how to define it. So I'm not going to tell someone to say, does this, you know, go along with your I Love program? Like you said, at one time we were taught to learn how to love. No, we were taught to learn how to compromise with a man. A whole bunch of women's emotions were not involved in a whole bunch of stuff, especially on the ho-ho thing you just told us about with the prostitution. But anyway, all I'm saying is if you are dating a guy and he says, you know, I want to travel the world and I want to do this and that, and it just, something hits you, you're like, ooh. Because it will. If someone said to me, I'm going to get up and travel the world and never come back to the United States, I can tell you right now, I have a trigger. Ooh, whoa, I got family, I got shit like that. Instead of saying, oh, that sounds wonderful and I can just dig it. No, you say, wait, no, let's talk about that. It's those little things, right? It's really those little. When a person's a non-drinker and they date and there's someone that drinks, they don't have to say, stop drinking, I think we can get through this. They're like, look, I don't drink, you drink, this is not conducive to the manner in which I want to live this particular situation. I can't date someone that smokes. Why? Because I don't smoke. You see what I'm saying? And then the other part is just listening to your, you know, your instincts. And anytime you have a second thought of an instinct, that's not the instincts. That's that other heart thing. Okay, Mary, let's go ahead and I have 2 minutes. Plug your show and then we'll go on with this another day. This is exciting, good stuff.
Okay. So I have a show right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Mary Had a Little Cancer. And we air on Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Eastern. I don't think that there's going to be a show today. There will be a show next week. I have some things that I need to do today and that supersede me doing the show, unfortunately, but we will be back next week.
Okay. Perfect. Now I can tell you right now, Jay Keane, who is the owner of the Jay Keane Network, would say that she has commitment issues and she better work on that because you do.
Oh, I already
okay,
know. And I'm working. I'm working.
Because he coming for you. That's just being honest. Okay, you guys. We started off the show just talking about an amazing person who's now in heaven. And in fact, you guys, the second half of the show, we were talking about relationships. Next week, I'm going to read some quotes that she had published on Facebook in 2010, 2011. And they're so on it as to what we were talking about today. Too bad I didn't get enough time to do that. Because even the person who was my truth serum, the person who was just so strong, also, you know, struggled with, why is this not happening? What's going on here? You know, and that is an important thing. I went in this show again with saying this to my dear friend. Rest in peace. My rock, my truth, serum. My opposite, my identical, my friend, my earth angel, my heavenly angel. Oh, I miss you so much. Okay, you guys, next week I'll be back on. We might be the same way. Make great, great memories. And remember, we're on the line. What are you doing to prepare for that? Be the best that you could possibly be. Share. Be truth. Be opposite. Be identical. Love. Make love, all those things I read. We'll read them again next week. Until then, Mary, I love you much. And everyone else, have a great, great, great week. Bye.
Love you too, chick.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd.
Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Of Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd,